Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Tanya. As always, very grateful to our dear friends and sponsors, Marilyn and Michael Fedak. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Figi Abowitz for the Refuah Shleima and successful back surgery of Reza Basha Basfegel Gittel. Should have a complete, speedy, and painless Refuah Shleima. We are in the 11th chapter, Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Tanya. The last perek, we spent time defining the difference between a complete tzaddik, a tzaddik gomer, and an incomplete tzaddik. This perek, we are continuing by elaborating the difference between a complete Rosh and incomplete Rosh. And next parak, we'll get to the Beinoni. Halavai Beinoni. Halavai, we all arrive at the level of a Beinoni. When it came to the Tzaddik, both the complete Tzaddik and incomplete Tzaddik on the outside externally are indiscernible. Both are living properly. They're doing the right thing. They never indulge their impulse. They never do the wrong thing. So what's the difference then between the complete Tzaddik and incomplete Tzaddik? The difference between them is not the outer world, it's the inner world. And it occurred to me, I had this epiphany, which may be obvious to everyone else who learns Tanya, but, you know, took me a little longer, which is that Sefer Tanya essentially is teaching us about the significance, the importance, the critical importance of our inner world, The tzaddik on the outside is doing everything right. Frankly, the Beinoni also. Even the Beinoni externally on the outside is making all the right decisions. What's the difference then between the two types of tzaddik? What's the difference between a tzaddik and a Beinoni? Nothing to do with the outside external world. It's all about the internal world. It's what's happening inside. It's who we are. It's the inner conversation. It's the relationship we have with ourselves. It's our internal world. And what Sefer Tanya is emphasizing is that rather than think that the only thing that matters is what we do with our actions externally, we need to know that what matters too is our pnimius, our internal world, what's happening inside, our thoughts and our inner conversation and the different parts of ourselves and the parts of who we are and the conversation, the relationship we have between those parts, which are any relationship with ego or evil, with klipa and sitra achra, versus only good. So the tzaddik gomer and tzaddik eno gomer, tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo, on the outside are all tzaddik. And don't even really struggle. The question is there any residue of even seeing any ego in the world? And in our perek, Perek Yud Aleph, we're saying the opposite. There's a Rosh HaVetovlo and a Rosh HaVeralo. The Rosh HaVetovlo is the incomplete Rosh. And the incomplete Rosh is the conceptual opposite of the Tzaddik Veralo. How? Because the incomplete Rosh, Rosh HaVetovlo, this Rosh may do the wrong things on the outside, indulge the ego, indulge the impulse, make mistakes, but Vetovlo. But it doesn't completely define who they are. They're mostly good. In fact, this Russia, which is where we left off, may only do something occasionally, rarely make a mistake. Maybe only miss to make a mistake, not even on something d'oraisa, on something biblical, make a mistake on something d'rabbanan, on a lesser transgression. So we saw even here, hurei avera, leitzanus, being frivolous, being silly, being cynical, being sarcastic, even machshava levad, even thought alone here, hurei avera. Even this Russia externally is doing the right things, but they fantasize, they dream, they let them lose themselves in thought of that which is wrong and inappropriate. Which brings us up to what we're up to. Oh, shehi shasa kosher, lasak b'torah v'mefana libo levatala. Or another example of a transgression, of an avera that's hard to avoid, even for a pious purpose person, is a person who does not take advantage to learn Torah at every moment. Learning Torah is the highest thing we can do. Chabad, Chochma bin Adas, the Alter Rebbe has told us. The best and highest and holiest way we can engage Hashem is with our head. So a person has an opportunity to dive deeply into Torah, to read the diary of the Almighty, to go into the blueprint and the formula and the instruction manual for creation, and instead they do something else, frivolous and silly, squander and waste that time they could have been spent learning. Kedisnan ba'avos, Haner Balailo Mefana Libo. The Mishnah teaches an avos, a person who stays awake at night and turns his heart to empty things, such a person bears guilt. A person could have been coming to the Tanya Shir. The Daf Yomi, the Amud Shvui, the Kol HaBoker, the afternoon Kol, the night learn, the countless Shiurim that we have, learning opportunities on our own. We live in an unprecedented time. There used to be excuses. What can I do? I'm not near a Shir or Shul. Today, if you have a connection, internet, you have access to hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of shiurim in every language, at every level, on any topic. There's almost no excuse not to be learning at every opportunity. Shabachas mikol elech yotzei minikra Rosh HaBeis Ahi. So listen to the words of the Alter Rebbe. Ba'achas mikol elech, When it comes to any of these things, Leitzanas, Hehurei Avera, Bitol Torah, any of these things, speaking gossip or being cynical and sarcastic, mockery or fantasizing about mistakes, indulgences, indiscretions, or wasting, squandering time you could have been learning, any of these things, ukiyotze behem, such a person is nikra rasha. Such a person is called a rasha. Now the Alter Rebbe adds two important words. Nikra rasha when ba'eis hahi. The person is ba'eis hahi. Now how do you translate the words ba'eis hahi? Interesting. So ba'eis hahi, he translates it, Reb Chaim Miller, as he's immediately classified as a rasha. Reb Levi, I want to translate ba'eis hahi differently. Because I was thinking and trying to clear. When is the Alter Rebbe creating these categories? When do you earn the title Tzadik Gamor, Tzadik Ralo, Tzadik Tovlo, Rasha Ralo, Rasha Tovlo, Beinoni? When? It's a title at some point you get a report card, it's an annual review. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's now your title for life. Do you renew the title once a year, once a day? Or is that title for that act? No, you hear the kasha? At what point is this label? There are these five categories. Two types of tzaddik, two types of rasha or the beinoni. Good. When do we get our assignment? When do we get our card telling us what category we're in? Is that a lifelong categorization? See, the Alter Rebbe uses, again, I'm a novice. I'm not teaching Tanya. I'm just learning it out loud. But I'm thinking those words, bo'esahi. You're called a rasha, bo'esahi. So Chaim Miller, who certainly is much more of an authority, he translates, he teaches them as the person is immediately classified as a ba'esahi. You're immediately a rasha. One thought you shouldn't have had. One act you shouldn't have done. One durabanan, one rabbinic rule you violate. One thing, one small thing, ba'esahi, immediately, you're a rasha. I'm humbly suggesting, maybe the Alter Rebbe means, ba'esahi means, for that moment, you're a rasha. Ba'esahi, for that moment, because you indulge that thing, you right now are a rasha. In that act, it could be a rasha v'tovlo, a rasha v'ralo, for that moment. In any moment, and I say that because the Alter Rebbe is going to go on now to talk about, you could bounce back, the tshuva that you can do. You can reset which category you're in. So maybe that's what ba'esahi. Now, why does even a minor transgression render the person a rasha? Sha'rasha b'nafsha govirbo, because the evil in his animal soul overwhelmed the good. We're made up of two parts. We know there's a war, there's a battle raging inside us. Are we going to indulge the animal impulse, the desire for the physical world? Or are we going to regulate ourselves? Are we going to be sovereign over ourselves? Are we going to emphasize our divine soul? So this person, this Russia, this individual, even if it's like minor, like we call a Russia, a wicked, evil, nefarious, eisfarf, low life, right? When we think of a Russia, Marusha, we think of a Russia as a really bad person. In the Alter Rebbe's language, the Russia is the biggest tzaddik you ever met. They just thought the wrong thought once. Ad kedei kach. Until such a point, there's such a thing as a... So why? Because in that wrong thought, in that one wrong act, the animal, they indulge the animal. They let the ego overwhelm the elokus. Inside us is ego. A sense of independence, a sense of pride, a sense of ego, a sense of desire, a sense of want, a sense of what we want. And that ego is in battle, in conflict with elokus, the godly part of who we are. And when we indulge that physical, that mundane, that material, that desire, that animal craving and appetite, we indulge the ego over elokus in that moment. Mislabish benafsho machtiyom mitamo. Having one control, the animal so dresses itself in the body, causing it to sin and become defiled. And this defines the rasha. The animal soul is strong enough to overwhelm the divine soul even once. And it gains control even over one part of the body or the mind. Regardless of how seemingly small or insignificant it is, it's enough for in that moment. It's enough for in that moment. The high-end, incomplete Russia, who only has a minuscule amount of evil in his animal soul, will bounce back quickly. The good news. Afterwards, the good in his divine soul will overwhelm him. So this individual who generally is good and generally does the right thing and just has a shemetz, a little small something, they're called a rasha, even if it's the wrong thought, one wrong act, one wrong fantasy. They're called a rasha But because they're generally so good, so right, so righteous, such an individual, the Alter Rebbe is confident, the divine soul is going to kick in. I shouldn't have had that thought. I shouldn't have done that deed. I shouldn't have. And they're going to have regret and remorse. And they're going to seek repentance and repair. V'Hashem yislach lo. And such an individual, Hashem is going to forgive him. It's going to forgive him. That's why I translate Ba'esahi means in that moment he's a Rasha. But such a Rasha who one wrong thing feels so guilty and ashamed and so badly doesn't want the ego to defeat the Elokus. So does the tshuva to restore the Elokus as the supreme and sovereign in himself. Hashem yislach lo, the Alter Rebbe is confident, God will forgive him. How can the Tanya be so confident? Who says? Maybe Hashem is unforgiving that day. Who says? Imshav b'tshuva ruya pi atzas chacham zichron levracha. Because as long as you follow the guideline of the sages, regret for the past, confession of the present, commitment for the future, if you follow the formula, so Hashem is going to forgive. Hashem is going to forgive. So why does he call it tshuva haru'uya piya, minimally accepted tshuva? He's going to do minimum tshuva, even that. Why? Because this incomplete Rasha, who may have some residue of an animal soul, indulges the ego even a small amount. So even in a small amount of tshuva will bring him back. Listen to what Rav Chaim Miller writes. The incomplete Rasha is a serial offender. He goes through repeated cycles of sin. Maybe we relate to this. He goes through repeated cycles of sin, remorse, tshuva, and then later on sins again. Even after he's atoned, he's been forgiven, he's still capable of sin because there's a residual evil of the animal soul. So even after tshuva in the Tanya's eyes, he remains an incomplete Rasha. Why? Because until he obliterates, until he trains, until he transforms the animal soul, yeah, right now he's bounced back, but he knows, just give some time and the animal is going to roar again inside him. The wrong thought, the wrong deed. He's going to indulge it again. The Tanya's classification of tzaddik and Rasha looks at your inside, your propensity for evil based on what lurks in your animal soul. In the Tanya's eyes, even after you've done tshuva, you are still a Rasha as long as you have not uprooted the cause of those sins, the residual evil in your heart. He'll explain it elsewhere in Igeres HaTshuva. The minimally accepted repentance. So because you're caught in this vicious cycle, you do the minimum repentance to bounce back. But until you do something about that animal soul, it's going to rage. As I was learning this morning, preparing it to learn it again out loud with you, I like to think about our relationship with Hashem using the metaphor of the relationships He's created for us in this world and in life. The Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, teach, God looked in His Torah and created a world. It's not that He created the world and now that becomes the metaphor to know Him. So it's not that we have relationships of a mother and a father and children and a husband and a wife and a king and a servant and a master, a king who serves the king? Citizens and the master and the servant, every metaphor you can think of, Eved Rabo, Adon Rab. It's not that you have all these metaphors, and then they come in handy. They're useful to relate to Hashem. It's the opposite. Hashem wants us to know different aspects of our relationship with Him, so He created these relationships because each are a metaphor for our relationship with Him. Which is the holiest and the highest metaphor? Which is the most accurate and precise? Which is the most lofty that we should drive the relationship we want with Hashem? Like a master and a slave? Like an employer and employee? Like a king and a resident? Like a parent and a child? No. The highest is, Rabbi Akiva taught, Kol Hashirim Kadosh, Shir Hashirim Kadosh HaKadosh, Mishnah Yadayim. All songs are holy. The holiest song is the Song of Songs. Which is the metaphor that's the most precise, the most lofty, the most we should, our greatest ambition, a husband and wife? The love, the longing of Shir Hashirim, of a husband and a wife. That's what we want. So if that's true, that Hashem created the whole institution of husband and wife, romance, love, intimacy, He created all of that so that we could connect to Him in those ways. So let's apply that metaphor here now. It means that, you know, the tzaddik is the one who, in a relationship, regulates everything. Always does the right thing, makes time, has conversation, takes out the garbage, eats milchiks every now and then, always does the right thing for the marriage, and always even has the right thoughts. Never does the wrong thing, not in the world of speech, thought, or action. Elamai, Ralo, this tzaddik, Veralo, still knows there's such a thing as other beautiful women. I don't look at them. I don't think about them. I don't dream about them. I don't talk to them. I don't flirt with them. I'm not interested in them. But I know that in the world, there is such a thing and such a temptation, even though I don't give into it. That's a tzaddik v'ralo, if you use that metaphor. Right? The tzaddik v'tovlo is the one who says, you're the only woman in the world I don't even notice, think about, care about. I have no concept of. You're all there is, and I always do the right thing when it comes to that relationship, and I'm not even, conceptually, don't even have a connection to any other possibility. That's a tzaddik v'tovlo. Then you get to the Rasha. The Rasha in this, Dr. Rebbe, we just learned, is like you once didn't take out the garbage exactly when you said you would. You're a Rasha in the relationship. You didn't gamble away the whole money or have an affair, or you just didn't, like a Durabana, you just didn't take out the garbage in time. You missed the garbage pickup. You're a Rasha. You can be a Rasha of a Tov, though. It means that's all you did. Generally, you're amazing and you're good. You can be a Rasha because you do all the right things in the relationship, but you once thought about another beautiful person you once saw. You once remembered that Epis, you had a girlfriend at one point in your life. Even in the world of thought, that's enough to be a Rasha in the relationship. Again, just taking our metaphor even further. And they're vicious cycles. This person in the relationship doesn't act out, isn't disloyal, but is human. And there's a cycle. Then they feel bad, but then they know it's going to come back. So as long as that ego and that animal indulgence, fantasy, action is there, that's a Rasha. That's a Rasha. And then section two, we'll pick up next week, the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Mishe Ra Gover Bo Yoser. Till now we talked about the Rasha Vetovlo. They only occasionally, they only infrequently, they only a little bit, even once, and that's enough to be a Rasha. Then we get to the Rasha Baralo, the Rasha Gamor, the Rasha who habitually, the Rasha who overwhelms, the evil overwhelms the good in them. That'll be the end of this parak, and after that parak Yud Beis will be the Beinoni, Halavai Beinoni, that we can get to that level. Have a wonderful day.